This Sunday, today, the first Sunday of the new year, it's 2020. Can you believe it? Man, woo, exciting. All right. It's crazy, actually. I thought by 2020 there'd be like flying cars and surfboards, and anyways, it didn't happen. Unless you just fly it anyways. But on a more serious note, this Sunday is significant, and I'll tell you why. This Sunday represents our opportunity to come together and declare the word that God would have us walk with for this whole year. The word that brings us together, that gives us clarity and vision for our lives, for the life of the church in this coming year. It's a big deal. Some may think that I come to these sorts of services and these words easily. Last year, as God was preparing my heart for the year of harvest, which we declared 1 year ago today, and using that word over the year, over the people of the Lord here, it carried great weight on me and on our church and for us as a people last year. It was very important. Well, the truth is, I believe today as we gather on this first Sunday of the new year that we are on the edge of a precipice, about to take a step into the unknown. I kind of look at it just like the disciple Peter as he took a step out of the boat on the raging waters to meet the Lord Jesus as he was coming to his disciples. I can't help but also think of one of my favorite movies, just as Indiana Jones in the third movie had to take a step across this invisible bridge. Well, it was kind of invisible, but he had to, if you're a TV or movie buff, you know that scene. Well, it's kind of like that, sort of. We need to take a leap of faith. Today is the first step in a leap of faith for our congregation. You see, this year we will be challenged to think about things differently. I want you to think of things differently when it comes to your faith, when it comes to our church, and when it comes to us walking with God together. You see, this will be one of the most significant years in the history of this church. Now, I'm not just saying that to say something nice and hope for the best. No, we have plans for this year. This is going to be a significant year. We're going to look back on 2020 as the years unfold and think, yes, that year carried great impact on us. We're going to remember that. Since I became the pastor here at Queensway, we've been on a journey together. It started with faith. I've seen folks come alive. I've seen the scriptures come to life in this church. Dead bones have come alive. What was lost has been reborn. That the Lord has done has prepared us for what is to come. He's been preparing us for today, for this new year. And as we are always reminded in a new year, and as Pastor Katie so eloquently shared earlier, the Lord is doing a new thing. That's what the Word of God says to us. One pastor wrote this reminder this week, and I thought it was interesting. He said, as we approach a new year, it's worth remembering that a new date does not mean a new you. The world does not say it that way. But remember, a new date does not mean a new you. You see, the calendar holds no power to change anything. Do you know that? The calendar holds no power to change anything. It's Jesus, not January, that brings a new day and makes all the difference. Would you agree with me today that it's Jesus that makes that difference? So let's read the scripture passage that leads us to our name and theme for this year. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 14, and we're going to go to my boy David in the Old Testament, and it's a really exciting, and I'm so excited about it. So 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 8, I'm going to read out loud, and it'll be on the screen as well. It says this: when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God. David said, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up and I will give them into your hand." Verse 11. And when he went up to Baal-perazim, and David struck them down there, and David said this: "God has broken through my enemies by my hand. like a bursting flood. Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal-perazim. The New Living Translation translates verse 11 like this. So David and his troops went up to Baal-perazim and defeated the Philistines there. God did it, David explained. He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So Val, if you could help me with this. So our theme for this year, for 2020, is this. The theme is, this is the year of breakthrough. I want to proclaim that over this house today for this year, that this is the year of breakthrough for Queensway in Espanola and in this region. You see, 1 Chronicles 14:11 is our theme scripture for this year. I'll repeat it again. And he went up to Baal-perazim, and David struck them down there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a bursting flood. This is the year of breakthrough in this place. I'm talking breakthrough. We're going to bust down some walls and some windows. We're going to break through some relationships that need to be set free and restored. We're going to break through situations in our lives that we've been butting up against for too long. It's time for us, just like I even said a few moments ago in worship, that I want us to go deeper this year. I want there to be breakthrough in our worship times as we gather this year. And we're going to go deeper in the things of God. So what we're going to do this morning is I just want to go a little deeper into this passage that I've just read to you. And there's two simple points I want you to remember today. And I hope that you can write them down somewhere or throw them in your phone or something. But our first point for today is this. I'm going to declare this over this house today. You are anointed. You are anointed. Verse 8 from this passage of First Chronicles reminds us that we've been marked. We've been marked. You see, God has anointed us for his good works. Did you know that God has anointed you and me for his good works? 1 John 2 verse 27 says, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. God wants us to dwell in his spirit because the anointing of the Lord is upon us, and he wants us to dwell in him and him in us. He wants to be in that close relationship, in that close space together with one another. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this. I think I read this a few weeks ago. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, we are filled with the anointing that is described in the book of Chronicles. We are filled with that anointing. You see, anointing in the Old Testament speaks to a declaration over the lives of those that were anointed. When David was first anointed, you probably know this, he was anointed king while there was still a king. He was anointed because that was what God was about to do in his life. He was marking David in that moment of anointing to take over the kingship of the nation of Israel, that Saul would fall away and that David would rise up as king, the one who hears the voice of the Lord. You see, we are filled with the same anointing. You see, walking in our anointing is walking in what God has already planned and prepared for our lives. Do you know that God has already planned and prepared your life? He's already ordained your steps. That's what the scriptures tell us. Now, one thing, I used to hear preachers and pastors throw this anointing thing all the time, and I was absolutely confused for years and years and years. Here was one of my questions, and I thought I would just spend a moment here. I had no idea what this business of anointing was. It sounded a little strange in a lot of respects. But here's what it is. So the question I would ask myself is, how do I know I'm anointed? Well, the Word of God tells us the moment that you accept Jesus into your life, that you are filled with power. That's what the Word of God says. You see, It's important for us to remember that we are filled with this power that raised Christ from the dead. It dwells and lives within us. On top of that, we pray regularly in our lives and in our corporate services in this church and in personal prayer times and corporate prayer times that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe in particular that Jesus tells us in Scripture to after we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, that we would ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us and fill us afresh and renew us and renew our minds. And you'll know if you've heard me preach for long enough that I believe that we need to be constantly being filled with the Spirit. It's not just a first and second and third time. It's an everyday, every moment occurrence that we are regularly being filled with the Holy Spirit. John 14, verses 15 to 17 say this, "If you love me and you keep my commands, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, another helper to help you be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." You see, if we are ever unsure that we're anointed, all I would ask you to do, if you're ever unsure, God, what's this anointing business? Am I anointed? Am I filled with your power? All we need to do is this. You ready? We just pray. We pray and we ask the Lord Jesus to fill us and to send his Holy Spirit upon us. One of the oldest prayers of the church is simply this: Holy Spirit, fill me. That's it. That's a simple prayer. You see, church, you are anointed. You may say, I think I'm anointed, but sometimes things are difficult. I feel like my spiritual life, everything around me, makes me feel like I'm walking through mud. Every step is difficult. How many of you have felt that way before about your life? That every step is difficult. I can't drag my foot. I remember the first time I went golfing in Espanola with Frank. I put my foot in this area that looked like solid ground at the golf course. It was not. It was like sinking sand, and I lost my shoe in it. 4 feet into the ground, I had to reach down and grab it. Luckily, the shoe came out. Otherwise, I was a one-shoed golfer the whole way. But the truth is that our spiritual lives can feel that way. Like we can't put one step in front of the other. We're just stuck in this mud. Church, there is one who do everything he can to disrupt your destiny. Did you know that? There's one who would do and has done everything he can to disrupt your destiny. Here's a word that I believe God has spoken through this scripture to us today. It's this: anointing attracts enemies. Anointing attracts enemies. If we're anointed, it's like moths to a flame. It's like standing out on Bridget's dock in black fly season, all right? They're coming for you, whether you like it or not, all right? That's the truth. The anointing attracts enemies, and I believe those black flies are enemies, all right? Anyways, that was my experience last spring. The enemy of your soul knows that you are chosen. Did you know that? The enemy, he knows that you're chosen. In fact, sometimes I think he knows more about us in terms of how God feels about us than we know sometimes. He knows that you are chosen. He knows it. In the spirit realm, you have a mark on your life. Did you know that? In the spirit realm, you have a mark on your life. You are filled with power and authority, and the enemy knows that. You've been chosen by God for good works. Did you know that today? You've been chosen by him for good works. You see, church, you are filled with power. You are a world shaker. You are a mountain mover. I often need to remind myself when the enemy is disrupting things around me. Could it be that by the power of the Spirit, I'm taking ground that he thought he took from me? He thought he had ownership over that part of my life. But in fact, I'm taking it back and I'm forging ahead. You see, as the might of the Lord increases in our lives, the enemy will rise up in opposition. But of course, we have nothing to worry. We have nothing to worry about because we are chosen. Did you know that you're chosen? You are called of God, every single one of us. You see, we are a part of the Lord Jesus' plan. We're a part of it. We're not forgotten. We've not been left behind. We are a part of his plan. Our second point today is simply this, and I love that Chris sang this song. God's promise is yes and amen. Verse 11 in 1 Chronicles 14, our theme verse for this year, reminds us that God has broken through our enemies. The Lord has placed power upon us to take back anything the enemy may have stolen from us. There was this old song we used to sing when I was in youth group, and it was, I went to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from me. And there's some theological inaccurate statements in that song, so that's part of the reason why we don't sing it anymore. But the truth is that maybe you feel that way. Maybe you feel like the enemy has taken something from you. Maybe the truth is the enemy has stolen something from you. And we are here today to proclaim that that is over, and we are taking that ground back. We're taking back what the enemy would have taken from us. You see, the Lord will use us. Don't wait for someone else to be used by God. For faith that God will move the biggest mountain isn't for us. Maybe it's for our neighbors or for our family members, our brother or our sister. But the truth is, church, today I'm declaring that it is for us today. He is the Lord of the breakthrough. It is for us today. This is the year of breakthrough for this church. We're not going to rest any longer. We're not going to wait for another time and another day. No, this is the year. This is the day of breakthrough, declares the Lord. You see, God's promise tells us through this scripture that the enemies will be given to King David. That's what we see in this scripture. God will use our hands, our work, to see breakthrough in any area of our lives the Spirit of the Lord calls us to. King David wrote in Psalms, in Psalm 110, verse 1, he said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." That's God's promise for us. You see, we learn from our main scripture in 1 Chronicles that David sought and looked for guidance. Because of that perseverance, we know that David was blessed. May we in these days seek the Lord earnestly. I'm so grateful that we're starting our 21 days of prayer today. We're going to pray tonight, and I'm so grateful that we're gathering together to seek the Lord earnestly. Church, we're going to proclaim the year of breakthrough at Queensway, and that it would be accompanied by an unrelenting desire to seek after God. I don't know about you, but I can get led astray by a million different things. I was watching that stupid Buffalo Bills team lose that football game last night. That's what I was distracted with and took a side with last night, and I thought, I'm glad I'm not a fan of that stupid team. All right. we need to have this unrelenting desire to seek after God. Do you have an unrelenting desire to seek after God? Well, Pastor, I seek after God, but I do it on my terms. I don't want anyone else around for it. No, church. We're in this together. We're going to seek after God together. Yes, there's times for private and there's times for public, but the truth is we're going to do this together. If we want breakthrough in our lives, we need to seek after God relentlessly with an unrelenting hope and desire that he will move in our lives, that we'd be obedient to every word of the Lord. I was reminded of that word obedience just the other day. I was up late at night watching. There's all these conferences the last week in the States. I don't know. They love the New Year conference thing. And so I was watching a few of them online. And I was reminded of this word obedience. And God will use literally, and if I told you the whole story, you'd understand why I say this. But God will literally use anyone who is willing to be obedient. He will use any of us. He don't give a rip about our past. He doesn't care about the bad choices we've made because he's won that victory already. The truth is that if we are obedient, he will use us in amazing ways. When the Lord asks us to pray, that we would pray. That's what obedience is. When he says pray, that we'd pray. When the Lord asks us to serve, that we'd serve. when the Lord urges us to give, that we'd give. Whatever God calls us to, that we'd earnestly seek him. These days aren't for us to be weak-hearted and passive and routine with our regular lives. No, no, no. Can you believe with me to expect God to do extraordinary things? Things that we thought were dead would come back to life. Things that we thought were lost to this world would be restored and set free. Believe with me that God can and will do great things in our midst, because his promises are yes and amen. Church, remember, today we are meeting under the banner of the One. We have worshiped the One. We are eagerly waiting for the return of the Lord. And church, he is the Lord of breakthrough. He is the Lord of bursting forth. First Chronicles 14 reminds us that God honors our dependence on him. This was seen exhibited within the heart of David. He was dependent on the Lord for his victory. You see, victory, I haven't always won everything in my life. Have you won everything in your life? Every competition you've ever been a part of, you've won every single one of them? Anyone here? Okay, let me... A few years ago, Leland was playing baseball in the spring-summer baseball league where we lived. The kids had no idea what they were doing. They all would run after the baseball in one direction together. If the ball went out to left field, all nine players, pitcher, back catcher, they all ran, all right? When they were batting, a couple kids would get on base, and then somehow after a few hitters, they'd all end up on second base, the whole team. I'm a purist when it comes to sports. I like to play by the rules. I would sit there and watch, and Arlene would get mad at me because I was frowning, sometimes crying in despair of this blatant rejection of the baseball rules that have stood for hundreds of years. I couldn't handle the lack of baseball etiquette in these 6 and 7 year olds. It was shameful. The funny thing was that they kept winning. Finally, it was playoffs, and they still kept winning until one day they were nearing the end of a close ball game, baseball game. The opposition coach was trying his best to rig the game so his team of 6 year olds would win. He was denied. And Leland's team won. I honestly have no idea how they won. I had to turn my chair for half the game so I wouldn't see the carnage. But Leland has a trophy to prove it, that he has the victory. You see, the word of the Lord says this: not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, Zechariah 4, verse 6. You see, just like David, God promises us the victory. In fact, the victory has already come. Victory has come on the cross of Calvary. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You see, church, God breaks through my enemies. He destroys them. He casts them aside. You see, the breakthrough force of the Lord is like the breakthrough of water. It comes rushing and raging to accomplish the will of the Lord. Church, we live in days where we desperately need the Spirit of the Lord upon every one of our situations, right? We desperately need him. You see, the God of breakthrough reminds us to burn our idols, to cast aside all our distractions. No more shall the enemy carry any dominion or authority over our lives, because we have the Lord of breakthrough upon us. Church, as this new year is here, there are some idols that need to be broken in our lives. Maybe things like money and worry and fear and doubt, unhealthy relationships, and probably a litany of things I've never thought of and I'm not going to mention. This is the year of breakthrough. These situations must and will change. All idols and qualities that are not of God need to disappear in the name of Jesus. We need to take an internal look at ourselves and say, God, what is not of your spirit that's within me? May it be taken out, removed, so that I can get more of the goodness of God in my life.